Well, good morning to you all. Is anybody having a good time? As Beth said, my husband and I, Mike, live in the Jacksontown area, which is between Heartland and Woodstock. We are missionaries with New Tribes Mission, the same mission as Gracia works with. And we have three sons. Our oldest, Jed, is 13. Our second son, Keenan, is 12. And our little baby is 9, Ethan. And we're just so thankful for what the Lord is doing in our lives. And I want to share with you a bit of my story. I was actually born and raised in Pennsylvania, central Pennsylvania, right down there with all the Amish and Mennonites. And I am so thankful for the fact that the Lord placed me in a Christian home. And it was one of those Christian homes that we went to church, and then church came home with us. It wasn't go to church and leave it there. And I was thankful that Christianity was part of our daily life. And I think that's a big part of why I accepted the Lord as my Savior at a young age. And a few really significant events in my childhood that shaped who I am today. The first one, when I was 7 years old, my parents sold their home and went into the New Tribes Mission Training Program. And at that time, there were different facilities around the United States. And so they moved across Pennsylvania to Rochester, went through a year and a half there, and then went on to Camdenton, Missouri to do the language part of the training. And during that time, my youngest brother was born, and he has a rare form of spina bifida, which resulted in him being paralyzed below the knees. And they were not sure at that time what was wrong with him exactly. And it was because of that that they never made it to the mission field. Their desire was to go to Columbia. But the Lord had other plans for them. And, you know, as always, when we make our plans and the Lord says, no, I don't think that's what I have for you, there's some turmoil that goes on as a result. But the really neat thing about that was that they worked through that. They did not become bitter. And they started sharing their vision with others in our church. They became involved. They began giving to other missionaries so that others could go. And they started praying. They started praying for laborers. And they started praying that one of their children would go to the mission field. And I think what a sacrifice that is, because most mothers want their children to stay right at home, yet they started praying that one of their children would go. That was my introduction to missions, and I think right there is when the Lord began to touch my life in regard to missions. As a kid, I was pretty shy, rather insecure, and for those that know me today, they would think, what in the world, because the Lord can change that even. But I was very shy and insecure, and I grew up with very few friends, never feeling like I fit in. And to make that worse, when I was in eighth grade, a group of girls that I kind of hung out with began writing hate notes and putting them in my locker every day. And they told me that I was fat and I was ugly and my clothes were out of style and I was basically stupid and useless. And you know, for a woman, we generally already struggle with certain aspects of ourselves. And we have trouble often accepting who we are and who God has made us. And that really got to the heart of what I was already feeling about myself. However, bullying has become a very significant part of many children's lives, and it's a very devastating thing. However, I can attest to how it can be a good thing too, and I'll explain what I mean in a minute. Almost every day I would go home in tears, and every day my parents would say, you have a choice to make. You can believe what they say, or you can believe what God says about you. Which are you going to choose? God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He says you're forgiven and complete in Him. He says you're loved. You're his child. He says you can't be separated from his love. You're his temple. You're his workmanship. You are free from condemnation. Which would you rather believe? You know, when I got a hold of that, it changed my life. And little by little, I learned to disregard what other people said about me and believe what God said about me. I started to trust him, rest in him, learn to trust his view of me. You know, I think many of us have learned those same things or are learning those same things. And it's, I think, one of the most important things that a woman especially can learn. From about as far back as I remember, the Lord, as I said before, was touching my heart with missions. I remember sitting through many missionary presentations and being in tears. The Lord was doing a work in my life, but I fought against it. I was a good student in school. People were telling me, boy, you can really go places. I can identify with what Lily was saying about wanting to be successful. I felt that too. And yet the Lord kept putting that on my heart. And as I grew spiritually, I began to stop fighting against that and really just surrender all the fears and the doubts and the unknowns to him and really, really begin to make a choice to obey him rather than fight against him. And when I was 15 years old, I went on a short-term mission trip to Papua New Guinea and spent 6 weeks in the mountains in among an indigenous tribal group. And, you know, you can see those presentations on a slideshow or on a PowerPoint, but it's different when you see it firsthand. And the Lord really, really confirmed in my heart that that's what he had for me, that that's where his heart is. His heart is for the lost. His heart is for people. And the Lord really confirmed in my heart that that's what he had for me. So I finished high school, and I went to New Tribes Bridal Institute. I mean, no, New Tribes Bible Institute, that is, in Jackson, Michigan. And, yeah, it was there that I met my husband, Mike Grant, who is from this area. And we were married about 3 weeks after graduating from the two-year Bible program. And if you ever talk to him and he says that I chased him, and he turned around to look at how far ahead he was, and he ran into a tree, and I got him. That is a lie, because that is not how it happened. But if you want to know the real story, I will tell you, gladly. So after we graduated from the two-year Bible program, we went on to finish the other 2 years of the New Tribes training program, and we finished that in 1999. And we arrived in Bolivia in 2000 with two small children. Our oldest was 2, and our second son was 1. And I'll never, ever, ever forget our first day in Bolivia, because we arrived safely, but our luggage did not. And so we had the clothes on our backs, and of course we were not seasoned travelers, so we didn't really know about packing extra changes of clothing in our carry-on luggage. So we really had virtually nothing else to wear besides the clothes on our back. And within 2 hours of arriving in Bolivia, our 2-year-old fell and cut his chin open. And so we became rather quickly acquainted with the emergency room at the hospital, not speaking a lick of Spanish, but trusting that what our interpreter was saying was what they were saying. We went to the field desiring to be church planters, believing that we were heading into a tribal location. But God had other plans. We went to study Spanish at the New Tribes boarding school. And in those days, homeschooling wasn't really an option like it is today. There were many limits on electricity and technology in the remote places. And since our mission works predominantly with remote people who have never heard the gospel, it seemed that the boarding schools were a very popular option at that time rather than homeschooling. So our mission had its own boarding school. And we went there to study Spanish, and the Lord really began burdening our hearts with the dorm parenting ministry. And as you can imagine, there's not a long line of people waiting to be dorm parents because, you know, it's challenging enough to be parents to your own children, and when you're taking in children that you don't know, it presents a whole nother, sense of dependency on the Lord, because how can we be prepared for such a thing? And yet the Lord kept putting this on our hearts, and we saw just the tremendous needs for caretakers for these children. So we offered to take the high school girls' dorm, and we were dorm parents for high school girls for 6 years. And we were mom and dad to 35 different MKs in our 6 years in that ministry. And during that time, we also added our third son, Ethan. I was pregnant our entire first year in the dorm, and he was born over March break. So we had 12 high school girls, and then a 3-year-old, and a 2-year-old, and a newborn. And I actually believed I was going insane there for a while. But somehow, as you keep putting one foot in front of the other and waking up each morning and saying, "Here I am, Lord. Wow, do I ever need you?" The Lord just seems to take your life and use it. In addition to being dorm parents, because the kids were in school during the day, we took on various other support roles during our time in the dorm. I enjoy being involved in different music ministries, and I'm one of those strange ones who likes to crunch numbers. So I got drawn into bookkeeping, which, strangely enough, I love. And my husband has a servant's heart of pure gold, and anything that was to be done, he did it willingly and joyfully. So our goal is to keep the tribal missionaries in their villages, translating, discipling, language learning, teaching, whatever we could do to keep them free from interruptions, we did. That might have meant renewing passports, working on their visa paperwork, fixing generators, lawnmowers. Might mean running to the airports, buying supplies, sending things on the airplane. He's done it almost all. And he also had the privilege of visiting different tribal locations, and really, really loved that. That was probably the heartbeat, his heartbeat. He loves to also get out into the Bolivian churches and challenging them with missions. And as Lily said, that's one of the most exciting things that's happening in Bolivia today, is seeing the Bolivian churches get involved in tribal evangelism and reaching people in their own country. And our mission has a national training center which trains Bolivians for cross-cultural evangelism. And we also worked there for a year. So all in all, we spent 10 years in Bolivia. We came home in June of 2010, expecting to be home on home assignment for a year and be back this past summer. Once again, the Lord has had other plans, and my husband has developed some health needs that require ongoing treatment, and we are not exactly sure if and when we'll make it back to the field. We would love to, because our heart is still there, but we are trusting the Lord for whatever he has for us. For the immediate future, anyway, we are transitioning into representing New Tribes Mission in western and northern New Brunswick, and into Maine if we can. And I think, you know, as I look back on the past few years, the thing that becomes really clear to me, the Lord has shown me a lot about himself, his faithfulness, his grace, his love, his sovereignty. All those things have become more and more clear. Yet, I think maybe more significantly is how much I've learned about me, my anger, my critical spirit, my spirit of unforgiveness, my fear of the unknown, my tendency to depend upon myself, to worry, to doubt. I don't know about you, but I don't like to see who I really am. None of us likes to see our sin nature for what it really is. But I've realized throughout the last 10, 15 years that unless I see who I am without Christ, I'll never need him. And until God begins to peel back the layers of my heart and mind, I'll never be motivated to even depend on him. And that's become really evident in my life. He doesn't really want people that have it all together, does he? Corinthians tells us that he uses the weak and the foolish. He just wants willing vessels. He'll do the repairing. He'll do the repairing. He just wants vessels that are willing. So I wonder how many of you are being that willing vessel. Just let him use you.